This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi. The air seemed heavier in California this week, weighed down by a decision Governor Gavin Newsom wasn't ready to make. The Menendez brothers, Eric and Lyle, once the faces of brutal patricide, had become something else entirely, a symbol of a justice system that might have missed the mark. Newsom's announcement to delay clemency decisions sent ripples through legal circles and true crime enthusiasts alike. His reasoning: a new district attorney, Nathan Huckman, is stepping into office, promising a thorough review of the case. This wasn't just about the Menendez brothers anymore. It was about justice, public perception, and the truth. It's hard to ignore the spectacle surrounding the Menendez case, a narrative burned into the public consciousness since that August night in 1989 when Jose and Kitty Menendez were found shot to death in their Beverly Hills mansion. Over the years, this story transformed from one of greed and gruesome violence to one of possible survival and alleged abuse. Now, more than 30 years later, the question isn't just about what happened in that den, but why? And maybe more critically, what should happen now? The timing of Newsom's decision couldn't be more delicate. Outgoing District Attorney George Gascon has been vocal in his support for the brothers' clemency, citing their decades of rehabilitation and the emergence of new evidence. He had even filed a request to resentence Eric and Lyle to 50 years to life, which, if granted, could make them eligible for parole. Gascon painted a picture of the Menendez brothers not as cold-blooded killers, but as men who had endured unfathomable abuse, a lens through which he believes their actions should be reconsidered. Yet, this wasn't enough to sway Newsom. Instead, the governor deferred to Huckman, the DA-elect whose tough-on-crime campaign struck a chord with Los Angeles voters weary of Gascon's reform-heavy approach. Huckman's statement about his intentions came with the weight of a prosecutor's precision. He promised a rigorous analysis, leaving no document unturned. Trial transcripts, confidential prison files, and volumes of exhibits. Huckman's pledge to include all voices from prosecutors to victim family members signaled a stark contrast to the outgoing DA's swift advocacy. It wasn't a dismissal of the brothers' claims, but a recalibration. A methodical pause to sift through decades of legal and emotional sediment. While the political chess game unfolded in Los Angeles, the brothers remained behind bars, their fates intertwined with the justice system's unpredictable nature. Their case, once relegated to the annals of infamous crimes, has regained cultural traction thanks to Netflix's Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. The series has stirred the pot, bringing new eyes to the case and reigniting debates about the justice they received or didn't. One piece of evidence in particular has shifted public sentiment: a letter Eric wrote to his cousin before the murders detailing years of alleged sexual abuse at the hands of their father, Jose. The letter reads like a plea, haunting in its simplicity, now a cornerstone of their habeas corpus petition filed last year. The allegations of abuse aren't new, but have taken on renewed weight in this era of re-examining past wrongs. During the brothers' first trial in the 1990s, these claims were central to their defense, portraying the killings as acts of desperation, not greed. Yet the mistrial and the subsequent conviction seemed to overshadow the horror of what they endured. Now, with the Netflix series and public advocates like Gascon stepping forward, those allegations feel more critical than ever, a prism through which the brothers' actions might be reframed. Still, there's the undeniable evidence of what happened after the murders, the luxury spending spree, the flashy cars, the tennis lessons. It was behavior that prosecutors claimed was fueled by greed, not fear. It's this dichotomy that has kept the case alive in the public imagination for over three decades. The Menendez brothers aren't just defendants. They're characters in a tragic drama, one that exposes the messy, uncomfortable intersections of abuse, privilege, and justice. Huckman's upcoming review promises to bring clarity, or perhaps more questions. His emphasis on fairness and thoroughness has left the legal community and the public in suspense. Will his analysis validate Gascon's clemency push, Or will it cement the brothers' life sentences as just punishment? And how will Newsom, caught in the middle of a politically charged issue, balance public opinion with legal precedent? The Menendez case isn't just a story about two brothers and their parents. It's about the justice system's capacity to evolve, to consider new evidence. But for Eric and Lyle, the wait continues. Their lives hinge on this review, a process that will undoubtedly dissect their past, present, and possible future. Are we a society that believes in second chances, or do certain actions forever define a person's worthiness of redemption? As the legal machinery moves forward, this question lingers, haunting the edges of the Menendez brothers' case like a shadow that refuses to fade. The Menendez brothers' story, for better or worse, has become a lightning rod for discussions on justice, abuse, and redemption. But as the dust settles on Governor Gavin Newsom's decision to defer clemency, the focus now shifts to the broader implications of the case and what it reveals about the legal system and society itself. First, let's talk about the timing. On the surface, Newsom's move to delay the decision might seem calculated, even political, but it reflects a deeper complexity in cases like this. For years, the Menendez brothers were an open and shut example of calculated greed. The flashy spending, the entitlement, and the gruesome nature of the crime were enough to convince a jury to lock them away for life. But as the narrative shifted, so did the questions we're left to grapple with. How do we reconcile undeniable trauma with heinous actions? And how do we, as a society, decide who deserves redemption? Nathan Hochman stepping into the DA role complicates this even further. His promise of an exhaustive review is admirable, but what does justice look like in this context? Is it about acknowledging the alleged abuse that may have fueled the crime, or is it about holding individuals accountable no matter the circumstances? Hochman's reputation as a meticulous prosecutor suggests he won't be easily swayed by public opinion or Netflix documentaries. His approach will likely emphasize the evidence and legal precedent over emotional appeals, which could set the stage for a fascinating, albeit contentious, analysis of the case. And let's not overlook the role of the media in all of this. The Netflix series didn't just reignite interest in the Menendez brothers, it reframed their story for a new generation. The public, often swayed by dramatic retellings, has started to see Eric and Lyle as victims of their circumstances rather than cold-blooded killers. But while these narratives can shift public sentiment, they rarely hold up under legal scrutiny. The justice system isn't a Netflix pitch meeting. It's an intricate web of facts, laws, and procedures that don't always align neatly with what feels fair. What's fascinating and perhaps unsettling about this case is how it forces us to confront the gray areas of morality and justice. Did the Menendez brothers endure horrific abuse? The evidence, including Eric's letter, suggests they might have. Does that justify what they did? That's a harder question to answer, but the real issue here isn't just about the brothers. It's about how we, as a society, handle cases like this. Do we lean into compassion, acknowledging the long-term impacts of trauma? Or do we prioritize accountability, no matter how nuanced the circumstances? If nothing else, this case is a litmus test for the justice system's ability to adapt. The push for resentencing, bolstered by new evidence and changing perspectives on abuse, suggests that reform is possible. But Hochman's methodical approach might pump the brakes on what some see as an inevitable outcome. And maybe that's not a bad thing. After all, the stakes are too high to rush to conclusions, whether it's granting clemency or reinforcing the life sentences. What happens next will undoubtedly set a precedent not just for the Menendez brothers, but for similar cases where trauma and crime intersect. But as we await Hochman's review and Newsom's eventual decision, one question remains. Are we ready to confront the uncomfortable truths that cases like this force us to face? That's all for now. We'll keep digging and getting you the facts. Thanks for listening, and be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our updates.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed. in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.